Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Andrew Gill Smith, author of the new novel, Our Lady of the Ardalex. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
Good. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your novel, Our Lady of the Ardalex, how would you describe the novel?
I would say it is really an exploration of fuzzy boundaries between faith and science. It tells a story of a near future world where Ardalex, which are basically highly advanced androids, are having apocalyptic visions that only they can see. And so the governments of the world assume that this is a hack or a hoax of some kind, until one of them, belonging to the wealthiest man in Africa, shows up at a basilica claiming to be possessed. And in response to this, the Vatican sends their top neuroscientist, also an exorcist, to interview this android, this Ardalect, and he quickly finds himself drawn into a global conspiracy, possibly a supernatural conspiracy.
That's great. And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write Our Lady of the Ardalex?
You know, I've always been interested in, and as I said, this kind of fuzzy boundary between faith and science. I mean, it's part of my story, right? I mean, I grew up in a fairly conservative, religious, evangelical household. My mom passed away when I was in my mid to late teens, and I went through a long period of rebellion and anger, really towards God, and ended up majoring in religion in college, and then studying it for many, many years thereafter. I also then got a master's degree in data science. I went to a master's program in data science. And, you know, eventually kind of found myself found my way back to faith. But I certainly never given up my scientific worldview either. And, so I really wanted to play with those boundaries, to an extent. I think that was the main motivation for writing the book.
That's great. And what was your writing journey that led you to writing your first stories and, novel?
Well, this is my first novel. Mm-hmm. It's also my first, you know, really substantial creative writing project. I started climbing the mountain before I knew how tall it would be. and that's probably a good thing. I don't know if I would have had the gumption to do this if I'd known how difficult it would be. Because this is like an idea space that has been so interesting to me my whole life and that I played around in my whole life. I tell people I've been researching the book for 30 years. I wrote it in 6 months, right? I sat down in October of 2021 and just started putting together, the characters and the outline for the book. And it came out very, very fast, right? The actual writing of it. Don't know if that's how it's going to be for the sequel or not.
Have you started working on the sequel yet?
I've started it. Yeah, I've started it. I'm still kind of deep in the research. I like to, when I was thinking about Our Lady the Ardalex, I really wanted it to be two things. I wanted it to be what I would call hard theology, meaning I did not want it to be sort of wishy-washy, made up, with regard to the main religions that are depicted in it, which are Catholicism and Islam. And I also wanted it to be hard science, right? I didn't want to do a lot of hand waving or, sort of magic, with respect to the science. And I hope I accomplished that in this book. In the second book, it feels like it's going to go more in the direction of hard science fiction. Just because that seems to be how the first book set up. So I'm doing a lot of reading on, quantum mechanics, David Bohm's theories on consciousness and the intricate order. And then also getting into, getting as deep as I can into, Sufi mysticism.
Well, you mentioned earlier of writing Our Lady of the Ardalec, your first novel, and that you wrote it in 6 months. What was that writing process like for you? Had you written an extensive outline, or did you just think about it and dive into the narrative? How did that work?
Total pantser. I was a total pantser. And again, I think that that's probably the way that I have to write because, I like to think about, you know, what are the characters really going to do? Like, I don't necessarily know how they're going to react in every situation that I put them in. Right. And so the narrative of the story really grew organically and I did not have an outline. When you get to a sequel though, you got all of these sort of fixed elements in place, right? You got characters that are now developed. You've got, you know, kind of a world or a magic or a science system, if you want to call it that, that needs to be respected. So what I'm finding in the second book is I think I'm going to have to be a little bit more of a planner.
Sure. And your first job out of college was delivering mail for Jeff Bezos when he was still selling books via listserv. What was that job like and how did you get it?
Oh, that was wild. So coming out of college, I actually wanted to be a writer. And so I'd applied to a bunch of jobs in New York and I had an offer to work for the Village Voice. But the offer was like, when I say the money was bad, it was like, I don't know how you can live in New York on that.
Sure.
Bad, right?
I had one of those jobs in New York.
Yeah.
The Village Voice, but it was like, how am I surviving?
Yeah. But I was going to take it. I was like really, really excited. I was going to take it. And then I got this like random weird call from an investment bank or a hedge fund. And they wanted me to interview because I like won some academic award in college. And I was like, okay, that's fine. It's a free trip to New York. So I'll go do it. And I met with them. And, it turned out that they kind of hired on two tracks. They hired like literally some of the most brilliant scientific and technical minds in the world, like top graduates from the Indian Institute of Technology, winners of the International Math Olympiad. And these are the people that are like writing the algorithms and the trading programs. But then they also hire people with more of like a liberal arts background, to essentially do like the go-to-market side of the business. And I ended up getting an offer to work for this company. And they started all of us on that kind of liberal arts side of the equation in the mailroom. And I'm like delivering mail to these bankers. And, you know, the idea is you kind of circulate, you get to know people, and eventually you kind of find your spot at the company. One of them was this quirky senior vice president. Nobody really knew what he did. You'd go into his office, he'd have books like piled up to the ceiling. And I finally got the courage one day to ask him what he was doing. He said, I'm just trying to figure out how to sell these books on the internet. And I laughed. I was like, well, that's a terrible idea. Yeah, this is like 1995. Like people weren't even putting their credit cards online, right? And of all the things that you would sell, books. And he said, well, I love books. And I asked him how he was doing. He said, well, I'm buying email lists and I'm emailing people. And then they call me back and then I take their credit card number and I write. And, he had like one of those old credit card machines.
Yep.
The mechanical desktop devices. And that's how he was selling books in the early days. It wasn't too long after that. It was maybe 6 months or so after that, that he picked up and moved to Seattle, pulled a bunch of people with him, started the Amazon.
Did you stay in touch with him?
I'd be living on a private island somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Did you stay in touch with him?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I was a kid who was delivering his mail.
Yeah, sure. No. And now he's buying yachts.
Yeah, among yachts, newspapers.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
yeah, and he gives hands on.
So given your experience with Our Lady of the Ardalec and now thinking about and planning the sequel, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
Oh, that's a great question. Part of me wants to say I don't know if I feel qualified to give writing advice to others as a first time novelist. For me, I can say what's worked for me.
Sure. What worked for you
is, just to write about things that I know and that I'm passionate about. If you don't know your material, if you haven't done your homework, haven't done your research, if you don't, you know, passionately care about the themes in the work or the characters in the work, then I think it's unreasonable to expect anyone else to care. But the other thing I would say, I mean, and again, this is all like so cliche, Jeff, like, you know, hope it makes for an interesting podcast. I don't know. You do have to have the discipline to just sit down and do it. You know, for 15 to 20 years, I told myself, I'm going to write a book. I really need to sit down and write this book. These ideas have been bouncing around in my head for a long time. I think I'm going to do it. And I would always find, you know, a distraction or something else to do, or, you know, something in my job that prevented me from, you know, starting. And it wasn't until, like I said, October of last year that I've kind of forced myself to sit in front of a blank screen and just start putting words on a page, that it all came together.
That's great. Well, what books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Most of what I actually read mainly nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of research for the next book. I just read a book by Professor Chittick from SUNY University in New York on the cosmology of Ibn al-Arabi, who is probably the greatest Sufi mystic of all time. It's called The Self-Disclosure of God. And while I was reading that, I was also reading David Bohm's Wholeness in the Everlasting Order and a book by Robert Lanza called The Grand Biocentric Theory, which is really kind of about the whole anthropic principle in physics, in quantum physics, that, like, you know, life is the universe, the cosmos is essentially perfectly calibrated for consciousness. And some physicists, like John Wheeler, right, who did a lot of the early research into black holes and work on the Manhattan Project, have gone so far as to say that that the universe is consciousness, that it's made of information. And what's really fascinating to me, again, is Ibn Arabi was writing about this stuff 800 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's, they didn't have the technical terminology, obviously, right? But I mean, there are really strong parallels between, you know, his mystical visionary experiences and some of the best minds in modern physics have discovered.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novel?
Sure. I'm on Twitter, and I'm pretty active on Twitter at Andrew Gill Smith. I'm always on Goodreads and love to interact with people there. I'm on Facebook, and I have a website, which is andrewgillsmith.com.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Andrew Gill Smith, author of the novel Our Lady of the Ardalex. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Andrew, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.